Yeah, Pastor Tim and I, we became very close friends. He can tell you about the hotel room we shared. That's always been a memory for him and I. Yeah. We didn't know each other before the trip, but boy, after the trip, we really knew each other. Yeah, yeah. But God is so good, and it's so a blessing to be here with you. I'm excited to hear Pastor talk about faith promises. This morning, as you reflect maybe upon your faith promise, I want you to think about this, and as you hear me speak, I'm a product of a faith promise commitment. You see, I've grown up in a Pentecostal church all my life, and I can remember about 7 or 8 years old, I made my first faith promise, 50 cents a month. And God used that just to begin to spur a love and a growth and an investment of my life into missions. So if you have kids, if you have teenagers, get them involved. I think it's not too much paperwork. We could handle a 50 cent a month pledge. That's okay if that's what your kids want to do. But get them involved, because it will plant those seeds of service, of giving, of sacrifice in their hearts. So do that. Well, we have quite a journey this morning to take, and I think my partner here in Ukraine is going to join us in about 15 minutes. I'm not on Facebook. I'm just sending some communication here between him and I. So I'm on, if I'm checking my phone or I'm typing. Well, I was here at Chapel on the Hill. It's probably been about 9 years ago, maybe 10. And at that point in time, I was heading out as a first-time missionary. I came here, and I shared with you my story, shared with you my passion. And let me just bring you up to speed here on that. I was where you are today about 12 years ago. I was attending my local Assemblies of God church. We live in central Pennsylvania in Carlisle. And I was involved there, involved in serving the church. But I was a businessman. My father had started a plumbing company in Carlisle, and eventually I'd taken that business over. And but I knew about business, I knew about organization and management and all those things. But I also had a desire and a love for missions. And God challenged me and called me when I was in my 40s with 5 kids under 16. Yeah. So I heard somebody go, ugh. Yeah, you ain't lived until you've moved a family of 5,000 miles across the Atlantic. But I said, God, are you sure? I mean, you know, I can do a lot here in the States. I can serve you here. I can give. I can invest. But God said, no. I really feel that this, you know, said this is your time. So, with your help and your faithful help ever since, thank you. Thank you, by the way, for your monthly investment in our family. These stories and the examples I share this morning, you all play a part in that, and not only me, but dozens of other missionaries that you've invested into. So from them and myself, our family so appreciates your sacrificial giving. So we departed, and we said, hey, Assemblies of God, we're business people, but we love the Lord, we love missions, we want to get involved. And they said, I've been doing a lot of work in Ukraine, because at that point I was doing short-term trips into Ukraine. And they said, well, we would like you to consider going to the Arab world. And so that's how we actually, instead of heading to Ukraine initially, we were asked to go and to serve with Muslims. And it was a wonderful journey for our first term. We went to Cairo, Egypt, lived there for a year. And then after a year in Cairo, our leadership asked us to go to Muscat, Oman, which is close to Dubai. You know, Dubai's that city with the really tall building. And you kind of wonder what kind of skills God needs in the mission field, and you know, could God really use my skills as a teacher, as a nurse, as a maintenance worker, or whatever you do? I said, God, could you really use my skills as a business person? Well, in Muscat, in the country of Oman, we had no missionaries. Somebody said, God, we didn't have any missionaries because in those Muslim countries, they don't allow you to come in, as a missionary. That's not permitted. They don't want missionaries. They don't want the Bible. They don't want Jesus. But they do like American business people. And so we were sent there to establish a business. We established a language school in the city of Muscat. And we had a great results. We said, this is wonderful. We've set it up. We've established it. And we were able to get about two or three visas for our business people that were associated with our business. So we were able to bring in two or three missionaries into the country connected to our business. And we thought, well, this is wonderful. This is how God uses business to get the doors open into closed countries. But we felt God asking us a little bit more. He said, there's more to do. There's more impact you can have. And we began to pray. And it's quite a long story, but the short story is this. We soon became the only private institute in Oman to be able to grant student visas to our students, okay? So you can't come. You can come to the country for a visit for a week or two, but to stay long-term, you need some sort of visa. Student visas allow them to stay 1 year, and it renews every year for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Well, once we were able to access that and were blessed with that connection, then the doors really began to open up. Long story short, after 2 years from beginning until we left Oman, we had 60 students in our school, 60 students that were coming to study Arabic language. They were all missionaries. We were able to bring in over 60 missionaries into a closed country. They didn't want Jesus. They didn't want the Bible. They didn't want missionaries. But through business, through the skills that God gives us, we were able to set up and establish a real for-profit business. And these were missionaries from many different organizations, many different Christian missions organizations, as well as many different countries, not only Americans, but Germans and South Koreans and all over the world. And it was quite an amazing opportunity to see how God would use business to expand missions. Now, here's the funny part about it. They say God has a sense of humor. Our teachers, I was never a great Arabic speaker, but we had Arab teachers. We had Omani teachers, and Omanis are 99.9% Muslim. Our teachers were all Muslims. And so every day, our teachers would go down to the prayer room. We were required by the government to have a prayer room at our school. But these same teachers who called out to Allah 5 times a day also taught our 60 missionary students how to speak Arabic so they could tell every Omani about Jesus Christ. So God was doing amazing things, and it was quite an opportunity to see just the eternal impact one could have and how God was calling people into the kingdom. And then we finished our term. We come back to the States in 2017. And at that point, we began to really pray and say, God, where do you want us next? Where do you want us to go? Well, we still had a love, a still desire, still a strong passion for Ukraine. It has been a part of my life for many, many years. And so we prepared to go to the country of Ukraine. Ukraine's a beautiful, beautiful country. But it has a very difficult past. They've always been a country that have been fought over. From the Golden Horde and the Mongolians, the Lithuanians, the Poles, even Nazi Germany overran them, and now the Russians. But in 1991, they broke away from the USSR, and they established their independence from the USSR. And so in June of 2018, we landed in this beautiful country. If you want to start with slide number one. Yeah, you can flip over to number two there. Ukraine is filled with beautiful churches, beautiful architecture in the next slide, and beautiful opera houses and ballets, and it's just a lovely country with a great history and a great culture. And slide 4. And so our family arrived there in June of 2018. Now, side note, we have 5 children, or 2 of our children are adult. They didn't come with us this past term, but these are 3 that were with us in Ukraine. And we were serving there and working there in ministry to the marketplace. Flip to the next slide. So what we did in Ukraine with your help, with your partnership, is we helped to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the business world, into the marketplace. We did that 2 ways. We come alongside existing business owners who were believers, but were not really living out their faith in the marketplace. And so we would encourage them and direct them and help them to be stronger witness in the marketplace. But in addition to that, we helped young Christian entrepreneurs understand business, get trained in business, business education, but also from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, using ethical and correct rules. And through the establishment of Kingdom Business School, we've trained, in the last 2 years, we trained over 100 young Christian people in business. Now, you got to understand, in a national church, in any church, in any country, you need a variety of people, right? You need the truck drivers, you need the nurses, you need the lawyers, you need the teachers, and you also need the business people. And in the national church in Ukraine, we needed to develop the church so that we had business people in the church that were able to help the church grow and help invest in the church and see that church really take off. And so part of our passion as we trained young entrepreneurs was to release them into creating businesses that would help sustain the church. And we were also able to provide some micro loans, some small loans to launch these businesses and get them started. And so very soon we were able to invest in about seven different businesses there and help them start. We helped a guy buy a combine harvester. We helped a young lady invest in a custom dog bed business. We helped an IT app developer. We helped cafes. We helped bakeries. Many different options there that God was using and training up people to get the gospel into the marketplace. Is our friend on yet? Okay. He said about 5 minutes. And so we were busy. God was blessing, and through all the different challenges, even of COVID, we still continued to train and move. And then about 6 or 7 weeks ago, our world turned upside down. The U.S. Embassy in Kyiv recommended that all non-essential personnel evacuate Ukraine. And it was at that time the Assemblies of God said, we really recommend that you and your family leave and depart Ukraine. That was a difficult time. Difficult in, logistically, right? We've lived in this house in Kyiv for 4 years, and, you know, hey, you got 2 days, take what you can and get out. So that was a challenge. So we quickly narrowed ourselves down to about 6 or 7 suitcases. I joke with pastors. I said, it's good I'm in a new church every Sunday, because that way nobody cares that I wear the same clothes every week, because this is about the extent of my closet. But God is always good. And then also on an emotional level. You know, they don't train you in mission school for evacuation. And when you leave, obviously we try to leave before big trouble happens. And so you're second-guessing yourself. You feel like you're maybe abandoning the people that God called you to. You feel like a dog between a dog that has a tail between its legs. And it was hard. It was very hard. But I can see now you know, hindsight is always so much better, that God has really orchestrated our placement back here in the States for such a time as this, and we'll get into that story, but I'm able to do so much more to help our brothers and sisters right now in Ukraine than I could if I was there. And so every Sunday, and usually sometime in the middle of the week, we're out speaking about Ukraine. We're out raising support and relief efforts for Ukraine to get them started, or to get them help. So I got home here the 29th of January, and 24th of February, well, the invasion began. Many Ukrainians didn't believe it was going to happen. Everybody really didn't expect it at many times, but it happened. And so quickly, our surroundings, what was familiar to us as we saw pictures, you can flip through picture 8, 9, and 10, started to look like this. I'm sorry, not that one. That was our family. Those, yeah. These are pictures that are literally probably about 10, 12 minutes from our house, taken about a week ago. Our neighborhoods where we live now are mostly empty, although there are still few that are there. But it's unbelievable. I can never imagine how it feels like to evacuate. Stay on this picture here. To evacuate and to see where you lived, the buildings you went, where you drank coffee, now in ruins. This picture wasn't taken from my house, but it very well could have been. We would see the same viewpoint. Behind the building in orange is where that bomb is. Right around where that building with the orange stripe is where our kids' school is. So the bombs have gotten extremely, extremely, rockets are coming in extremely close. Even this morning, Josiah was sharing with me about other parts of our neighborhood that have just been bombed overnight as well. So it's a constant barrage of attacks. You know, when I lived and worked in Ukraine, my mornings always began with black coffee. That's a great thing about living in Europe. They have great coffee. No sugar, no cream. I just had black coffee. But now, my mornings start a little bit different. Usually, I don't sleep real well. I get up by about 3 o'clock in the morning. This morning, it was about 1:30 at the hotel. And I get on my phone because by that time I have usually about 10 or 12 messages from Ukrainians. They need this supply. They need to get this family out of this crisis city into another village. There's somebody that needs medical supplies. And so I'm in constant contact with people inside on the ground, providing support, providing networks of connections, and we're also funding and helping to send relief. So I get up, answer those 10, 12 messages, try to go back to sleep for a few more hours, and then about 8 o'clock, I get up, another 10 or 12 messages are waiting on my phone. And that's the way I spend my day, interacting and responding to messages. Play number 13 there, Alexi. Messages that I get that are just like this one here.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for your praying. Could you pray, please, for my everyday, that in order that I could understand what I should do in every day, for wisdom from God, and in order to have no fear at all, and also I ask you to pray for the president, for the government, Ukrainian government, for the safety, unity, and also wisdom, how they should act. Also for the army, for big cities, Kyiv, Sumy, Chernihiv, Zaporizhia, Kherson, Odessa, and also for smaller ones. And I know also it's hard situation in Zaporizhia region, where my relatives are also now. And pray for protection from God.
On a side note, that's Alexi. Alexi was a has an interesting story. I know, church, you do short-term missions. I heard Pastor speaking about that. Don't ever underestimate the value of short-term missions. Alexi came to Christ on a short-term trip that we led from our church in Carlisle about 13, 14 years ago. He was a Mormon, and one of the members on our team made quite an impact, won him to the Lord. And I know sometimes you think, oh, you know, is short-term missions worth it? Should we invest? Should we do this? But, boy, that's a living example, friends, of what God does and lives he changes. And so I spent my days in the office doing all these type of administrative tasks and getting help to where it needs. And it's good. I stay quite busy because it keeps the tears away. And I think today it's going to be okay if we shed a few tears, if we have a little bit of pain. I think it's okay to do that because we can claim God's promise that those that sow in tears will reap in joy. During my time in Ukraine, we worked with many different people. One of our good partners was Andre Barakuta. Andre Barakuta is a builder. He builds homes. In fact, he may tell you about it. He has two homes that he had just completed, and they're on the market to sell. Right now, he doesn't know what condition they're in, but basically, you know, that's a whole previous life to him right now. He lives in Kharkiv. Kharkiv is the second largest city of Ukraine. And in Kharkiv, it has been under tremendous amount of attacks and bombs. It's still held by the Ukrainians, but so many of the buildings where Andre and I visited, where we drank coffee, now lies in rubble. Andre was with me, and we helped work through the Kingdom Business School and establish the school to minister to so many different students. And he's been such a dear friend for me. But Andre, he lives in Kharkiv with his family. He's refused to leave. I call him my Queen Esther. I believe he feels that for such a time as this, he's there to help his fellow brothers and sisters, to help humanity in the city get by. And so I'm very excited this morning. Andre is going to join us, if you can connect him on there. And we want to talk to Andre and get a report from the city of Kharkiv. And what's that city? About 2-3 million people, I believe. You know. But we had such a good opportunity for investment. There he is. Andre, can you hear me this morning? Okay, we're just trying to get our audio set up here so we can hear you. Just a minute. What time is it there for you? Yeah, we still can't hear you yet. They're going to work on that. Andre, give us just a minute. We're going to work on connecting the audio. So just give us a minute. Hey, Andre.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I do now. Yep. There we go. All right.
Good. Nice. Good. Hello, brother. Hello, church. Brothers and sisters. God may bless you.
Yeah. Andre, it's good to see you again this morning. And I was telling the church how faithful of a good brother you are and how hard you're working. What's going on there in Kharkiv? Tell me about the city.
The war is keep going, and we just doing what we used to do, what we have to do as a church, as believers. Today was Sunday service in our church, and we had over than 600 people came to get some meals, some humanitarian, and we make four services because of our little place of that we have not so much room in our church. We had four services for today. It was blessing day today.
25% of what you have here. This church is only about a quarter, about 25% of what we have here. 600 people. Praise God. That's awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So
and each time there's more and more people coming. Wow. Yeah, it's blessing time for us.
Wow. Wow. What an opportunity. What an opportunity to share the gospel, to make a difference in people's lives.
Yes.
But
yes.
You're living in Kharkiv with your wife Alina and your two children. But I know in Kharkiv many people have left because of so much bombing. But you continue to stay there. Why?
The main reason, when the war started, we had peace in our hearts. And the main reason why I are here because of my wife. She has peace in she's hard too, and my kids has a peace. They are not scared because I think that's time for church to work hard, because the church is alive when every people is in need for this time. So I think it's a good opportunity for church, for our Christian, to have a ministry, that kind of ministry, and serve people and help people. Because as I walk outside from my house, I see that people are scared, that they are running somewhere. And we just know one thing, and I know one thing, that we cannot run of this war. We have nowhere to run, and wherever if we will go, there's a problem the same that we have. So it's not a reason to go out somewhere. And I think the main character of Christian has to be inside, that I have to have something in me to give. And that's one of the main minds that I have, because if I will not have anything inside to give, then this is the question: am I a Christian or not?
Wow. So good, so true. And so you are giving every day. You're giving. What kind of ministry and relief work are you doing?
For right now, we have three ways to help people. One way, we are giving meals and humanitarian to people that are coming to our church, our place. We have a warehouse there, and we are giving that people need. The second way that we are serving is we are getting buses full from Kharkiv and helping people go out from the Kharkiv, because it's a dangerous place because of the war. We have more peaceful cities in Ukraine right now. And the third way that we're serving people, it's our plan to help rebuild those houses and buildings that are bombed right now, that are in destruction, that are broken right now. So this the three main ways that we are serving, and we have many work here, many work.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know you never stop. I can pick the phone up anytime and send you a message, and you're always working.
Thanks God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Well, Andre, we were going to pray with you today. I want to pray for you and for Alina, for Isabella, and Edwin, your new baby boy. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Andre told me, I actually didn't know, he his son was born about 4 weeks ago, a week before the war broke out. And Andre said, Ron, it's just a miracle. He said, it's a wonderful thing. He said, God was so faithful to us. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, we knew the baby was coming. We also knew war was coming. And so we were praying that the baby would get here before the war did, because the hospitals would be overrun. Yeah. Church, stand with me. Stand with me. You know, I've met a lot of pregnant women in my life that are anxious and looking forward to the birth of their child. But this is the first one that I've known that had to pray for their child to get here before war did. So let's pray for Andre. Let's pray for his family and his team of workers that are going throughout the city. Stretch out your hands, folks. Father, we come before you this morning. We pray for Andre. We pray for his wife and his team of workers there in the city of Kharkiv. God, as they go out among the rubble, among the missiles, as the bombs are dropping, Lord, that you would put protection around them, that you would guide them, that you would keep them safe. Holy Spirit, would you just lead them to the situations and to the neighborhoods that they need to go? And Father, would you continue to give them provision so that they can then release it to the people in need? Help them to continue to be able to find fuel and bread and clothing and transportation. Continue to use them as a conduit to bring relief to people. And as we bring relief, we bring it in the name of Jesus. Father, we are so anxious. We are so excited to hear the great testimonies of what is going on in the churches there today. And Father, we actually declare, Lord, that this is not so much a humanitarian battle, but a spiritual battle. And it's for the souls and the lives of millions between heaven and hell. And Father, today, as they stand on the cusp of eternity, Lord, I pray that you would get a hold of hearts and lives. Would you turn Ukrainians to you? Would you save them by the hundreds, by the thousands, by the millions? Would you let a revival release across Ukraine, and that the Spirit of God would have a free flow to touch and to move and heal people emotionally, heal people physically, provide and protect. Lord, I pray and declare it in Jesus' name this morning. Let it be so. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Bless his dear wife, Alina. Bless his children, Isabella, and his little baby, Edwin. Give them strength they need. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, church. Thank you, Andre.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your prayers. We're feeling that you're praying for us, about us, and thank you for your help. It's so important for us. Thank you, church. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to share some photos with you real quick here. Let's go to 14 and 15. And this is Andre's work. They're going out and they're delivering the bread. They don't bother wrapping it. They just stuff it in the trunk and get it out to people right away. Go ahead to the next one. Yeah, babushkas are getting their supplies met. Next one. Yeah, go to the next one. We're buying fuel. This is each tank is 10 liters of fuel. It costs about $50 for one of those, and it will get somebody about 200 miles in their car. Next video. Next picture, please. Okay. Yeah. Stop there. Actually, there was the video number 17, bus transport. Could you show that? Andre made mention that we're providing transportation too, as well. Yeah. We're buying buses. We're not buying buses, we're buying tickets and filling up buses to get mothers and children out of the east and over to the west. Safer and also across the border. As you know, if you follow the news, we are now over 3 million Ukrainian refugees have left the country.
The worst
humanitarian crisis since World War II, the worst in Europe since World War II. But 3 million have left. There's still 40 million Ukrainians inside the country facing difficult times, facing challenging times through medicines and relief and all of that. I want to read from Matthew chapter 11. We'll come back to the pictures in a few minutes. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And you've probably heard of the Message translation. It's a real contemporary translation. I don't use it a lot, but I really like how the words, the vocabulary used in these scriptures. And so I'm going to read from the Message. You can follow along in the translation you have. Matthew 11, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus finished placing this charge before his 12 disciples, he went on to teach and preach in their villages. John, meanwhile, had been locked up in prison. And when he got wind of what Jesus was doing, he sent his own disciples to ask, "Are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting?" You know, John's in prison, and he hears, you know, what Jesus is doing, and so he sends his disciples, "Hey, check this out. Find out what's going on." Verse 4, so Jesus told them, "Go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side." And the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. You know, it was predicted that the Messiah was going to come to earth, and he was going to come to the poor. But if you could only try to imagine the context of New Testament times, in that time, there was a different viewpoint of people that were poor. There wasn't a lot of charities. There wasn't a lot of outreach and help to poor people. Most of people's attitudes was they're poor, that's the way they were destined from the beginning to live their life in poverty, and they'll die in poverty, and that's not my responsibility. And Jesus shows up in the midst of this, and he says, "I'm going to use the poor. I'm going to use the wretched of the earth to build my kingdom upon." You know, today we get excited if a celebrity or a sports figure come to Christ and we put them on TV or magazines and radio, and that's great. Praise God for any soul that is coming saved. And we're so happy when somebody high up in that echelon, somebody high up in the ladder comes to Christ. But Jesus was mostly concerned with those on the lower part of the ladder, with those that were at the bottom rung of humanity. Jesus was concerned with the wretched of the earth. And church, today in the world, Ukraine lies at the bottom rung of that ladder. When we refer to the wretched of the earth, Ukraine huddles as a poster child of wretchedness. Throughout centuries of time, Ukraine has always been overrun by different outside invaders, beat up, pushed around, run around, and pushed over. And now it's Putin. And now we see on television, virtually minute by minute, live feed, the wretched of the earth, the poorest, the most devastated. And it continues on and on. Last night we were at a restaurant and they had the television on. It just gets overwhelming. I'm sure you experience it as well. Just gets overwhelming, the continued destruction, pain, and poverty. And Jesus told John's disciples, he said, "Listen," he said, "if you really want to know who I am, tell John, the blind see, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear." It's like Jesus is building a crescendo of proof, okay? And as he's building it, it gets bigger and bigger. The blind see, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. And as he gets higher and higher, he says, the dead are coming back to life. Now, man, I don't know about you, but the dead are coming back to life. That's like the biggest thing for me. Like, if I could see the greatest miracle, that would probably be one of them. But that's not the top of Jesus' list. At the top of his list, more important than healings, more important than signs and wonders. And friends, I love it when Jesus heals. I love it when the demon or demon-possessed are set free, and I'm Pentecostal through and through. But the most important thing is the preaching of the gospel to the wretched of the earth. Then they know that there is a Savior who came and died and lives again to carry their sin. More important than anything that we can ever do is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, that's why I'm so excited to hear about your faith promises, and I'm not gonna go there but real far, but listen. The Assemblies of God is able to respond. We are able to provide relief because churches like you faithfully give every day, every month, to missionaries in different countries around the world. We didn't know it was going to be Ukraine, right? But it is. And guess what? The Assemblies of God, we have 12 to 15 missionaries that have been working in Ukraine, and so we already have a great network there to begin to provide relief. It's the same all across the world. And as you give into missions, you are building the gospel witness around the world and enabling us to respond when crisis hits and when needs arise. So yes, we went to Ukraine to see Jesus do the miraculous. But far above miracles, we went so the wretched of the earth would know that God is on their side. And so I am so excited when Sundays come, because I get updates from Andre, I get updates from Benjamin, I get updates from Oleg, I get updates from Ira, and they're reporting to me what happened in church that day. Show number 19, churches. No, back. Go back to the first picture, the one you had up before with churches. There we go. Churches are packed right now. This was 2 weeks ago. Show the next video, the very next one. Yeah, it was something new I just sent you this morning. Well, maybe not. That's okay. It was a video of Andre's church from last week, and there was about 300 people there. And now he tells me this week they have 600 people. So I don't know where they're putting them. It's incredible. This was 2 weeks ago. The video he sent me last week, it was wall to wall people. Now he said there's 600 people at church today in that building. Okay, go to that picture with them all in white. Pastor Benjamin sends me this photo of all these people that are dressed in white. I said, Benjamin, are you doing relief work in the hospital? I kind of laughed because I knew what this was. In the Slavic world, they wear white for baptism. I said, Benjamin, bombs are dropping in Cherkasy. What are you doing? Oh, we got new converts. We're baptizing people. We're sending people into the baptismal tank. Go to the next slide. And they're every week they're having this and experiencing this. The next slide. Yeah. More and more. It's just an exciting day as pictures and videos start to come to me today. Do we have the next one? Yeah. Okay. Anybody here involved in the military? Yeah? This guy in the far left is Yuri, Chaplain Yuri. I just got this last night. That's why I put the pressure on the tech team. I said, you got to get these pictures up. Go to the next one. Pastor Yuri's been working with the military since 2014, and God has put him in this position to continue to share the gospel with the soldiers on the front line. Next one. And even the soldiers are getting baptized. Next one. As they head into battle, God is using. There is a spiritual awakening that is taking a place across Ukraine. What God maybe have intended for harm, what the devil intended for harm, God is using for good. God is at work, my friends. And we are so thankful that we can be a part of it. Not only that people are healed, that people get bread, that people get the medical supplies, but that the wretched of the earth hear the gospel. And it is such an hour as this that the church all over the world is rising up. I could tell you stories and stories of churches throughout Europe that are sending relief in, that are housing people in their in their churches, that are taking people into their homes. Ukrainians by 3 million have come, and the church is responding. The church is responding. I have one last video I'm going to show you. I think the title was Gerald, it says. And then pastor's going to come up. Gerald is my team leader in Ukraine. Pause that. Gerald is my team leader in Ukraine. I've spent a lot of time in the house that you'll see here, Thanksgivings, Christmases, he's been been in Ukraine for nearly 15 to 20 years. Gerald is the last Assemblies of God missionary in Ukraine. He is still in Kyiv. He attempted to leave about 3 weeks ago. Things are so bad that he just couldn't safely leave. And so two weeks ago, we had a video call with Gerald, giving us a report on the ground. And I want to share this with you, because it's at this moment in history that God is doing an important work in the hearts and lives of Ukrainians. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm in Kyiv, just on the outskirts of the city on the west side, and we've had a lot of shelling today. And we're close to one of the city airports, so the anti-aircraft batteries go off pretty frequently. Unfortunately, a lot of times in life, it's a tragedy or a crisis that drives people to think about God or even to consider God in certain cultures and backgrounds. And I think there's more people praying now than maybe in a lot of countries than have before. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity when people begin to reflect on life and what it means. They realize work means nothing. They realize what they have is nothing, because they lose it pretty quick. What do you have left? You have life. So I think there's millions that are reflecting on what is that life? What does that mean? What's afterlife? And I think that's going to be the opportunity that we have most of all, to relieve personal suffering is necessary and good and great, but there's a place in each of our hearts that only God can fill, and a lot of people fill it with a lot of counterfeits, things that they think it feels good, this cause or that cause, or I don't want to name any causes because it would step on some toes, but you know, everybody finds a counterfeit if they're trying to avoid God. They have that yearning, but they feel it. Right now, all those feelings have been ripped away. And they have to face that question, what about God? So I think that's our opportunity. Meet the physical need, and in doing so, empower ourselves to meet the spiritual need of what about God?
For such a moment as this, I'll leave. Some of our biggest problems are, do we get out on time? Is it too hot, too cold? Amen. It's bigger issues, aren't there? Bigger issues. And so, it's an opportune time that Ron was able to be with us in our missions conference. And thanks for fitting us in, because I know at this moment he's playing demand. A lot of people want him to come in, but we're grateful that you're here today. And so we want to continue our moment in time. One of the things that he has the opportunity to do is to get money there on site in moments, instead of going through the process of sending it here, there, going a roundabout way. He can put it in an account, transfer, and it's there. So if you feel in your heart that there might be something that you would like to give, that we can get in his hands, that he can get there in today, tomorrow, whatever, it can be done. So we're taking an offering as we do, we will today and tomorrow, or next Sunday. We will be giving, and we'll be dividing it among our missionaries, but we also want to divide it among some of these causes. As you know, Dan also is helping those that are coming across the border there, so and many of you have already been giving money towards that. We appreciate that. But if you would like to give to this specific thing today, you need to market Ukraine Outreach, and we will make sure we earmark that and make sure that gets there as soon as possible. But we will be taking up an offering for all of our missions convention today. So, ushers, if you will come. Appreciate that. We will be again taking missions offering next month week. Also remember, we still have our monthly responsibility that goes out. I know it's a lot of asking this month, but I believe that we're planting seeds and that God is faithful. That if we sow abundantly, I believe we're going to reap abundantly. And so I believe that. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And, Father, our hearts break for those that are in the midst of tragedy, Lord. Those in the midst of these situations, Lord. And, Lord, it's not just that we are moved emotionally, but, Father, intellectually we're moved because, Lord, we know and understand this is the right thing to do. Lord, we are moved with compassion because our heart breaks because, Lord, we have been in moments and times in our lives where we have been in need, and we have seen the hand of provision, the hand of God, the hand of people reaching into us and supplying our need. And so, Lord, we are moved by these things, Lord, to give. And so, Lord, as we give today, I ask that once again we know that whether we receive anything back or not, Lord, we give because we want to give, because the need is there. And not because we want to receive something back. That's not our motive today. Today we want to give because, Lord, that's the right thing to do. It's the God thing to do. And so we give to you, Lord. And we are grateful for the opportunity and the finances that we have to be able to do it. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, we're not going to limit you to today. Maybe this took you by surprise, but even next week, or even beyond that, if God continues, lays it upon your heart to give to any of the missionaries, to the cause in Ukraine, to the cause there with Danny in Romania, we're asking you just to be sensitive to it. God'll take care of it. God'll meet your need as well. Hallelujah. Anything else you want to share? All right. When they're done, we're going to ask you and Josiah to stand there in the middle, and we're going to pray over you and bless you. I'm going to ask one of you to step up and volunteer to pray over them. Hallelujah. Right in the crossroads there. Amen. Amen. Do we have somebody who would like to pray over them? Yeah, if you'll gather around them, lay hands on them today, we want to bless them in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you for their desire to spread the gospel to the Ukrainian people. We don't realize what they had to give up to go there, leave their family and their friends and their children, giving up their schools and everything that they do. But God, we just thank you that they were called. We thank you for their love for the Ukrainian people. We just pray blessing upon them. We pray that the ministry will keep going on and it will open for them to go back and that they can make a dramatic impact on that country for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Remember, we've made available to you, if you didn't pick one up by now, is the bulletin. And inside that bulletin is the name of all of our missionaries. And so we encourage you to stick it in your Bibles, stick it somewhere where you can see it on a regular basis, and be praying over our missionaries. Also, we still have some bands left, and I know that most of you do not like to wear them. But all they are is a reminder for you to pray over missions. I still have mine from last year. I know there's one other person in the church that still wears hers, and so it's just a reminder. If you don't want to wear it, put it somewhere where you can see it. Hang it from your mirror in your car somewhere where you can see it on a regular basis. And, you know, it only takes a few moments, you know, driving down the road or sitting in your kitchen or wherever, your workplace, just to be remembered just to pray over them and their families. Amen. So we encourage in that. So as we leave today, if you have some questions for Ron, please corner him and do that. For some of you, if you would help us stack about half the chairs and just push the rest to the side without stacking them, we would appreciate that help. Please come next week. Come out and have some fellowship with the food. If you can help us in any of those ways, we'll put it online. Some of the things that we may be needing, and we just want to have a great time. It's going to be a relaxed time. We're going to be sitting around the tables as the speaker is speaking. So, the kids will still have their children's church after the meal. So, be prepared for that. So, all right, come out and let's fill the house, and let's wrap up with a good faith promised day. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, have a great day.